Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone out on this Sunday evening. It's good to have visitors with us this evening. As we've started the book of Jeremiah on Wednesdays, I said that I would do a few sermons along just to help give us an overview and a better understanding of the book and the character. So that's what we're going to look at this evening. We'll start in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. This starts off with a somber note that Jeremiah has a large job to do. He's not going to be a popular person. The people are going to hate him. They think that he is a traitor, that he wants Judah to surrender to the enemy, and they're going to be against him. But Jeremiah, there are so many lessons that we can learn from this great prophet. And if you have any questions about this lesson or anything else, we'll be glad to answer them at the appropriate time. But when we start off looking at Jeremiah, Jeremiah had a harsh message of judgment. Again, as we've studied in the Old Testament, the history and geography, and we mentioned this morning that God told his people that they were going to be taken into captivity because they had turned their hearts away from him. They had gone a-whoring after idols. They had turned their back on God. And Jeremiah is bringing this message to them. It was delivered with tears. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet in the book of Lamentations. Also with Jeremiah weeping over the people, weeping over Jerusalem. And you stop and think about this. Jeremiah, most say he started his service when he was around 20 years old and served God for approximately 50 years. So he would have been 70. 50 years serving God, prophesying to God's people. And how many people did he save? He never won a convert. There is not one recorded when Jeremiah was searching throughout all Jerusalem. We're going to see later that's a big lesson for us. Sometimes we think, why aren't people responding? And again, it's not our job to make them respond. It's our job to proclaim the message. His message was not only unwelcome to the nation whose 70 years captivity he predicted, but it was totally rejected. So when we talk about the Jews being in captivity for 70 years, Jeremiah is the one that used that number. And we know that it was exact because it was from God. His great accomplishment, though, appears to be in his character and what we can learn from him as he fought against everybody, against all of his oppressors, but he remained true to God. He was fearless, faithful, and passionate for souls. This is a big lesson we need to learn from Jeremiah. We don't need to get caught up in worrying about this and that and the details. We need ourselves to learn to be fearless and faithful and passionate for souls. He was misrepresented, persecuted, but never stopped proclaiming God's word. So you think about Jeremiah the man. In Jeremiah 1:1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest, who were Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amnon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of the reign. And it came in those days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So in these first few verses, we see the different times that Jeremiah prophesied, and we'll see that he prophesied during the reign of five different kings. He was chosen before birth. A lot of people use this verse, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." And they stop there, and God did know us before we were even born. But in Jeremiah, he says, "Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation." So God had chosen Jeremiah for a special purpose. Jeremiah was one of the great prophets of Israel. His name means Jehovah is high or exalted. He was born a priest, called by God to be a prophet. Active as a prophet in Jerusalem, 627 to 586, and then Egypt several years, for a total of about 50 years. So when I think of Jeremiah, I also think of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, who was his father, Zechariah, a priest that served in the temple, a priest that would have had all the priestly robes and garments and trappings of a priest. And then what was John the Baptist like? He was like a wild man that lived in the wilderness and wore camel's hair. You think about that and you compare that with Jeremiah. Jeremiah's father was a priest. He would have been respected among the other priests in the temple and in Jerusalem. And then his son, what does his son come along? Jeremiah, the priest, the prophet, what does his son say? He says that God is going to destroy all of you unless you repent. He doesn't preach the message that all the other priests and prophets or priests preached. He was preaching against the people. So the other prophets that were contemporary with Jeremiah as he spanned a long time. So Nahum predicted the fall of Nineveh. And remember, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And Assyria was one of the most evil and barbaric and torturous empires that there was. Zephaniah and Habakkuk. Daniel was during the same time as Jeremiah. And Ezekiel, a fellow priest somewhat younger than Jeremiah, he preached in Babylon among the captives the same things that Jeremiah was preaching in Jerusalem. So those are the prophets, the other prophets that were contemporary with Jeremiah. When we look at the kings of Judah, and this, as you go down the list and you're getting to the end of the kingdom, we see that Hezekiah was a good king. We drop down two more kings and then we come to Josiah. Josiah was a good king. He reestablished worship, reestablished the law, things that had been forgotten and put away. But then what happens? His sons and those that were following him were evil. Evil. And Jeremiah was preaching to Judah at its worst time when they kept turning away from God. This was a dangerous time in the history of Judah. And these reforms that Hezekiah and Josiah had made were short-lived. But during this time, there was conspiracy, there was injustice, heathenism, luxury, oppression of the poor. And this was the environment that Jeremiah came into to preach. And you stop and think about it, it sounds pretty much like today. Just the evilness that existed. You think about God's people too. They weren't worshiping God. That's why they were going to be taken into captivity. They performed sacrifices in Jerusalem, but they served all the gods of the pagans around about them also, including Baal. They served those gods. And Jeremiah is preaching against these people. All of these people in Jerusalem. We need to remember James chapter 1 and verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, and you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So Jeremiah teaches us tremendous lessons in the face of trials. Jeremiah was a man of great faith. He was forbidden to marry or to be present in homes of mourning or feasting. It's like God wanted him to be a social outcast. He was going to be a social outcast. He was standing alone. He soon found himself opposed by princes, the people, false prophets, and priests. And I imagine you just stop and think about his father being a priest. They would have put a lot of pressure on Jeremiah's family to tell this young man to stop saying what he's saying. Tell him to stop. But wherever he appeared, he was hated. He was despised and he was threatened. I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. "The word of the Lord also came to me, saying, 'You shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place.'" You stop and think about this. He's called to be a prophet, and then God tells him, "You aren't going to have any family life." And he goes on in verse 3, "For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who were born in this place, and concerning their mothers who bore them, and their fathers who begot them in this land, they shall die gruesome deaths. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried, but they shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. They shall not be consumed. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their corpses shall be meat for birds of heaven and for the beasts of the earth." That was what was going to happen to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And God didn't want Jeremiah marrying and raising a family and see this happen to his family. "For thus says the Lord, 'Do not enter the house of mourning, nor go to lament or bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, says the Lord, loving kindness and mercies.'" So again, God doesn't want Jeremiah to go to funerals to absorb that emotion, because he's going to have a hard job, very hard. "Both the great and small shall die in this land." That means the old and the young. "They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Nor shall men break bread in mourning for them to comfort them for the dead. Nor shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or their mother. Also you shall not go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and drink. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease from this place before your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride." It was a sad day in Judah. It was a sad day at the end before they were carried off into captivity. There's going to be all of this death. There's not going to be any happiness. And what does he say? "The Lord of hosts said, I will cause to cease from this place before your eyes and your days the mirth, the gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride." Those things that are normal anywhere, God was going to take them away from the people to punish the people. All of that is going on, and Jeremiah is prophesying and preaching about that. And then what does he do? Well, in chapter 32, and again, the book is not written in a chronological order, but in chapter 32, when Jerusalem was besieged, he bought a field demonstrating his faith that God would again bless the land. So the people are going to say, "Jeremiah, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're saying that we, God's people, are going to be carried off into captivity, and yet you're buying real estate. What are you doing?" This was to show that his faith in what God said that would come to pass. In Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, will come to you, saying, buy my field that is in Anathoth for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of the inheritance is yours, and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from the son of my uncle, who was in Anathoth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witness, and weighed the money on the scales. So I took this purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. So you just think about the faith that Jeremiah had to buy this land by right of redemption. It would be like if we knew that someone was going to come in and level this country and we're out buying up property. It wouldn't make sense, but it made sense when God tells somebody to do that. He saw the beyond the tragedy of exile to restoration in the land. Jeremiah 31:31, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, one of the things, too, with Jeremiah telling the people and preaching to them to repent and that they were going to be taken into captivity, the powers that be in Jerusalem didn't just sit still and be quiet. They wanted to silence Jeremiah, especially since he was the son of a priest. But you think about who was setting in power in Jerusalem, and those kings that were there were not appointed by God, but they were puppet kings appointed by the other ruling powers in the area. As we saw on Wednesday night, they would come in and kill this person, set another one up as king, and say, and for your pleasure, for the pleasure of getting to service, what are you going to do? You're going to pay us tribute. You're going to pay us tribute. See, this was the people departing so far away from God, and all of this that was happening to them, they were bringing it on themselves because of their sins. In Jeremiah 31, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. You see how God loved his people so much. He was a husband. They were his bride. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. You think about what he's doing here. And what is taking place in this new kingdom that God is going to establish. How can he do that with everything that's going on in Jerusalem? Well, the easiest way to do that is to tear everything down. He's got to tear it down first before he can build it back up. And you stop and think, that happens, and then what happens after? Again, they're taken into captivity and brought back, and the temple is rebuilt, and then Ezra comes back, and worship is reestablished, and Nehemiah comes back, and the walls are finished. What happens then? They still don't serve God like they ought to, and the Jews continue to decline, turn away from God till we get down to the book of Malachi. And Malachi calls them out. And then we have the close of the Old Testament. And then Christ coming on the scene. Christ establishing his new kingdom. And then what's going to happen to Jerusalem? It's going to be destroyed again. I find it interesting that so many people build their religious beliefs around Jerusalem today. And Jerusalem had its place. It was in prophecy. But God never intended for Jerusalem to be the center of religion for the world. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's in the hearts and minds of men and women all over the world. Jesus said, if my kingdom is not of this world, if it were, my citizens would fight. My servants would fight. It's a spiritual kingdom. Jeremiah was a very courageous man. Chapter 1:18, for behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar. So this is God speaking to Jeremiah. And a bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes, against the priests, against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. So the kings, the princes, everybody of power was going to fight against Jeremiah, but they wouldn't kill him. God told Jeremiah, you're going to suffer great things, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you to deliver you. He was threatened with death. He was mocked. He was imprisoned on different accounts. Different times he was accused of being a traitor. He was accused of being a false prophet. And one of the times that he was accused of being a false prophet, he pointed out that that person that is saying that, he's going to die. I forget if it was within 1 year or 2 years. And the false prophet died. And it showed that Jeremiah was the true prophet. He was called a fanatic by his friends and families, what friends and families he had left. Yet he never gave up. He never gave up. He was a courageous man. He was courageous because God was with him. I will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Friends, we need the courage of Jeremiah in the face of temptations, false allegations, the enemies of the cross. When we look at his message, Jeremiah, back to where we started in chapter 1 and verse 10, he denounced sin and announced God's judgment. You got to repent. You got to repent. God is bringing judgment on you. You're going to be taken into captivity for a period of 70 years, and you might as well just surrender, because the more you fight against the enemy, the more they're going to kill you. And back to what we read, when they fought against him and there were bodies strewn everywhere, didn't even get a burial. Bodies were just piled up for the birds of the air to eat, for their bodies to rot. And this was God's chosen people. Why did this happen to God's chosen people? Because they turned their back on God. But doesn't God love everybody? That's what you hear today. God loves everybody. He loves you just as you are. Just as you are, his grace is going to take care of everything. Well, then why did God use this nation to bring judgment on his people? Because his people, like we were talking about this morning, were idol worshippers. Why idol worshippers? They worshipped the idols of false gods, and the biggest idol they worshipped was self. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. His manner, he was urgent. He had to preach. He couldn't be quiet. He was decisive. He preached what needed to be heard. He wouldn't tiptoe around a subject. Sometimes you hear a sermon and you leave wondering, what was he talking about? Friends, we need to be told what is right and what is wrong, and need to be told that with love and compassion, but in no uncertain terms, so that people know what they need to do. His message was consistent. His message and his life agreed. We need to make sure that is the true and same with us today. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. If we don't know God's word and we don't share it with others, we're going to be lost. But we see, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So part of teaching to others is to save them, but it's also to save us. We want to be saved. When we think about Jeremiah and Jesus and what we can learn from comparing the two, we see Jeremiah was a prophet and a priest. We see Jesus was the prophet and the high priest. Jeremiah had personal sorrow. Jesus was the man of sorrows. Man of sorrows, what a shame. Jeremiah wept over sins. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And when you stop and think about Jesus from before time began, Jesus creating the world, creating that spot called Jerusalem, and looking down through time and everything that happened to it, and coming and living there and walking through the streets of it and knowing what was going to happen to it, and it was destroyed over and over and over, and he wept over Jerusalem and, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wish that I could, like a mother hen, gather you under my wings. He wanted to protect them. They wouldn't have it. They had turned their heart from God. Jeremiah was despised and rejected. Christ was despised and rejected. Jeremiah lived a life of sacrifice. Jesus lived a life of sacrifice and sacrificed his life for us. There is intercession with Jeremiah and Jesus. Jeremiah spoke the truth without reservation. Jesus spoke the truth without reservation. How did people receive Jesus? The common man, the sinners, received him gladly. The religious people, the Pharisees, the scribes, hated Jesus. And Jesus called him out over and over. You hypocrites, you brood of vipers, you poisonous snakes, you're hypocrites. Hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. Lessons we need to learn from Jeremiah. We should never stop speaking God's word. It's easy to speak God's word when nobody is giving you any pushback. But what would happen when people start giving us pushback? We need to never stop speaking God's word. We need to always speak God's word with compassion. And again, when you think about Jeremiah being the weeping prophet, he was not a cold-hearted person. We read about the tears. The one passage we looked at Wednesday evening, when he talks about his eyes being like rivers and just all the tears that he shed, he felt for the people. We need to feel for the people. Always remember, we are not responsible for the results. We are responsible for sharing the gospel. It's interesting. When people ask me what I do and I tell them I'm a minister, I'm a preacher, I'm an evangelist, two of the questions that come up is like, how big is your congregation and how many people have you baptized? Well, those are interesting questions. What bearing does it have on the work that we have to do? People are caught up in numbers. Jeremiah teaches us, remember, we are not responsible for the results. We are responsible for sharing the gospel. We don't wait till the time is right. The time may never come. well, I'm going to talk to this person when the moment's right. It hasn't been the right time yet. Well, if we keep waiting, they may die, we may die, we may never see him again. The time may never come. We must be busy in season, out of season, be busy all the time. God chooses whom he will to do his purposes here on earth. We learned that from Jeremiah, but in the bigger sense, he has chosen all of us. When we become his children, when we become soldiers in God's army, when we become laborers in God's vineyard, when we become servants in God's kingdom, he has chosen us to do his purpose here on the earth. We need to focus on doing our part, and God will do his part. When's he going to do it? We don't know. Don't get caught up on God's end. We need to get caught up on our end. God always holds out a ray of hope. You think about the time of Jerusalem and Judah, and this is the same today. When people live like animals, they usually die like animals. And that's how the people died back then. Prayers of the ungodly are not heard. They did not repent. Our sins testify against us. All of God's promises are conditional. You go back to Moses. You do this and you'll receive blessings. You do this and there will be curses. Everything is conditional. It's our choice. It's our choice. We can pick whether we want those blessings or whether we want those curses. Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord negligently. We need to be busy servants. Back to Jeremiah 1:17. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. And I like what this one commentator said. Jeremiah, as a man, he melts in tears and pines away in sympathy. As the bearer of God's word, he is firm and hard like pillar and wall on which the storm of a nation's wrath breaks in vain. We need to stand firm. We need to preach God's word, not draw back, not be shy. Consider these great men. Jeremiah is surely among those of whom the world was not worthy. Hebrews 11:38. He is an example for us today. We need to study him, learn those lessons that we can apply to our life. And ending with chapter 1 and verse 10. See, I have set this day, I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. That's not the preaching you hear today when they say keep it positive. We don't want to offend anybody. If you tell them they're doing something wrong, you'll drive people away. Friends, people need to hear God's word plain and simple. And then we can compare our life whether we measure up or whether we fall short. That kingdom, Jerusalem, was going to be destroyed. There was going to be a new kingdom that was going to be established. The kingdom of Christ, the church, the body. There's only one body. There's only one body. There's only one church. We can only be saved in the body. The only way we can be in the body is to be baptized in the body. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to make correction in your life, ask for prayers, make confession, respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.